Jacksonville, Florida, wins the prize for Best American City for Latinos. A recent study by the Center for Opportunity Urbanism determined which U.S. cities are most welcoming to specific minority communities. The study looked at access to affordable housing, median household income, self-employment rates, and population growth. Joel Kotkin is director of the Houston-based think tank that published the survey. Joel, welcome to Here and Now.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So you say the best city for Asian Americans, Riverside, San Bernardino, African Americans, Atlanta. Why is that?
Well, these are cities, all of which have one big thing in common, relatively affordable housing. And over the years, if you take a 10, 20-year time frame, they've generally had lots of jobs, and they tend to have a wide spread of jobs. I mean, one of the problems we have in many cities is the jobs that are being created are either very high-end or very low-end. And if you're a person, you know, who's trying to make it and get going, it's very, very difficult in these places. I mean, and it's particularly interesting when you find that, for instance, incomes of minorities in San Francisco are not any higher, really, than they are in Houston and Dallas, where the cost of living is much less. So people are voting with their feet, and what's really fascinating is that they're moving, particularly if you look at African Americans, they're moving back south.
Mm. Well, you point out in the study, and I think you're hinting at it here, that in some cities, cities that you would think of as progressive, like Boston or San Francisco, are actually not these ideal cities for minorities. And you make this distinction between opportunity city versus a luxury city. Can you go deeper into that?
Sure. Basically, an opportunity city is a city where somebody who is not well connected, isn't coming with a lot of money, has a chance of getting a decent job and eventually buying a house. A luxury city is a city with very high entry requirements, if you will, or you take the Bay Area. If you're a person with a two-year degree from a community college in some sort of technical skill, probably not going to find as much opportunity in the Bay Area as you're going to find in a Houston or a Dallas. An opportunity city is really a city in which people of all kinds can go and lift themselves up.
But an opportunity city, say like Houston, for instance, which is big and it's spread out, and to afford a house, you may also still be in the suburbs. And I'm thinking you're not very close to transportation. So what do you make of that?
There's only really two places in America where more than 20% of metropolitan employment is in the center city, and that's Washington, D.C., which has this big employer who you can't get rid of.
the federal government.
Right. And then New York, which is a early 20th century city, and it maintains that kind of legacy. But if you take a city even like Houston, it's about 7% of employment's downtown. Here in L.A., it's 2.5%. Most American cities, it's about 8, 9, 10%. So being close to a job may not mean being close to downtown. If you take a look at Houston, a lot of the suburban growth that's taking place is also servicing all these big businesses that have now moved out to the periphery. So employment is really changing a great deal.
But I wonder if your research really applies to some of the lower income minorities who may not have the mobility that an upper class or even middle class African American or Latino might have. Some people are just too poor to move. And so what does this information really do for them?
Fundamentally, you're right. The people who leave, just like the immigrants who come, tend to be the more ambitious, the people who are saying, hey, I'm going to improve my life. And the people at the very bottom don't tend to move very much. So what you
because
get
they
is
can't. You get, I mean, they don't have the resources to do it, right?
They don't have the resources. They may be dependent on some sort of public support. I mean, let's face it. If you want to, you know, if you are incapable or don't really want to have a regular job, you don't want to go on public assistance in Houston, okay? I mean, Texas is a tough place if you don't work. But I would say that what African Americans and Hispanics are doing in particular, and Asians as well, is they're going to where there's opportunity, where they can buy a house, where they can start a business, where they're remaking themselves and they're creating a great future for themselves.
Well, it sounds like a good business opportunity for the real estate professionals in these big opportunity cities, as you say. I wonder if this information affects the way that you plan or build or design a city in the 21st century.
I think what we really have to see is we have to see, how do we address the housing issue? How do we address the dispersion of work so that people have opportunities to live places that they can afford and where commutes are a little bit less. And then the other thing I think that's very important is to understand that economies cannot be based purely on high-tech media. You need logistics, you need manufacturing, you need construction. Overall, a balanced economy with relatively affordable housing is the best bet, frankly, for minorities and for everyone else as well.
Joel Kotkin is the director of the Center for Opportunity Urbanism and co-author of a new study that ranks the best cities for minorities in America. We'll link to that report at our website, hereandnow.org. Joel, thanks very much.
Thank you.